Hello, hello. Welcome to Tim's and Teddy's, the podcast. I am your co-host, Shamai Easter, the big sister, the zennial, and this is...
Sierra Easter, the baby sister, the millennial.
Yeah, let's make sure we decipher that. So we're your hosts for Tim's and Teddy's The Podcast, a podcast that is going to be discussing dating in, I guess, the end of 2019 now, heading into 2020, more of the feminine aspect of what it is to date nowadays. Each episode, we will try our best to have the male perspective in as a special guest to kind of even some things out. This episode, we have a very special guest that's going to give us some insight on how he thinks and how he feels when it comes to dating. In 2019 and beyond, to kind of balance some things out, because we don't want it to be too
biased.
Right, Sierra. No. We don't want it to be too biased. So on this episode, I like to say that we're gonna get this subject out of the way. Which might not be like a great way to put it, but I feel like this subject has been ran into the ground so much, but it's still an important aspect of the dating scene nowadays, and it's something that needs to be talked about, but it's just been talked about so much. And Sierra, what is that topic? What are we going to talk about today on our first episode of Tim's and Teddy's?
We are going to discuss toxic masculinity.
Toxic masculinity.
Yes, sir.
Dun, dun, dun. So if we are to Google toxic masculinity, what do you think would come up?
Aggressiveness. Violence.
Like physical? Or like everything.
Physical, verbal, emotional, financial.
So when we... Financial.
Absolutely.
So when we think of masculinity, I guess a good way to start would be to say, if we're going to talk about toxic masculinity, maybe we should start with the positive. So the opposite positive masculinity, what would that be titled? If you had an opposite of toxic masculinity, what would it be? Healthy masculinity? Yeah, like healthy masculinity. And what does that look like?
What's the opposite of toxicity though?
Healthy. Because anything that's toxic is gonna like bring your health down, gonna make you sick. Right? Like poison. Like poison,
the
like
opposite
poison.
Poison would be
an elixir.
Yeah.
A healthy elixir of masculinity. And I think that our special guest today has a very healthy elixir of masculinity. He's not perfect by any means. We're a little biased there.
Yeah. A lot biased.
Yeah, we're a lot biased there. But I think he's a really good example of what it means to work through. Maybe years and years of working through some of those areas of toxic masculinity to get to a more positive aspect.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
I would say so.
Yeah.
He's more on the conscience end.
Yes. Yes. I think that life has brought him there.
Why are you shaking your head?
Don't shake your head. You can't say nothing right now, okay? No saying nothing. So each episode we're going to be covering a topic that relates to the Black femme in her dating experience. We'll try our best, like I said, to incorporate a genuine male voice if they're not too scared away to balance some things out. So right now we're going to talk about toxic masculinity and how it is affecting our dating experience. You know, I'm 37. Sierra is about to hit the big 25 mm-hmm. in a week, 2 weeks or so.
Big grown.
Child. You think so?
If you make it to see 25, you are OG.
Goodbye. Okay, goodbye.
Big grown.
I think that toxic masculinity for me in a dating scene may be a little bit different than Sierra's toxic masculinity for me being a Xennial. I think Xennials are considered to be mid to latter part of the 70s, born within that time from mid latter part of the 70s up into the early 80s. I was born in 82. I'm a bona fide 80s baby. Sierra was born in 94. Mm-hmm. She is a cross color in living color.
What?
90s baby.
Don't do that. Because, first of all, them was the shows.
Yeah, they was the shows. But how old was you when they was getting played, though? You remember them?
I do.
First of all, it was just one show. And living color was just one show.
I know that. I'm thinking about all the shows from the 90s.
Okay. Well, maybe some of those shows contributed to some toxic
masculinity. Oh, absolutely.
I know if the shows didn't contribute, the music definitely did. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, latter part of middle school, hitting high school, you know, Uncle Luke, Two Live Crew, N.W.A., you know, men were gangsta. Tupac. However, Tupac was, he was getting there.
Yeah.
I think Warren G, Snoop Dogg, Nate, you got a few, CDs.
So listen.
Our special guest is like really laying it out over there. Mm-hmm. Really laying it out over there. So, but like I was saying, I think that just like the shows, the music kind of laid the groundwork for some of the toxic masculinity that we may be experiencing today. And, you know, we were trying to make it a little bit more positive, but we ain't got all day. So let's just jump into it. Toxic masculinity, some examples. As a 37-year-old woman, newly entering, I would say re-entering, but I mean, I was married at 26 and stayed married for almost 10 years. So I didn't really get much of the dating because I married my high school sweetheart. So when I speak of dating, like dating for me is new and I had no idea. I'm sick of y'all. Like, yeah. Yeah, I am. Like, I'm a little jaded.
You don't have to be so
Listen,
negative.
No. So, after my divorce, I took off. I didn't go right into dating. I took off, you know, a year and a half to 2 years to kind of get myself together. Because if you have any sense, you know, like, you can't just really jump into that. I know it works out for some people. The way I'm set up, the way my emotions and things are set up, me jumping into dating would not have been a good thing. But it's still hard, even though I feel like I've done the work, you know, I've done a lot of healing. I don't consider myself a toxic feminine at all. I feel like I'm super enlightened. First of all, wait a minute. So what y'all trying to say? Oh, my feelings hurt. Wait a minute. First of all, I'm not toxic.
A little bitter.
Okay, I can be a little bitter, but listen,
a little
bitter. just a little bitter, just a little bit of bitter, you know. But hey, I be trying to work through it though.
First of all, you said
I'm a young, like I do
right
my work.
To dating scene,
I didn't.
You were married for 10 years. That's not the
nine
as being in
nine. Nine. Get
not
it right.
The same thing as being in a 1 to 2 year boyfriend girlfriend relationship and then an ending.
Okay. True.
So yeah, you do need to heal.
Yeah.
From that.
Mm-hmm. But I think I've done that though. Okay. So I was watching this thing the other day, and it put a lot of things into perspective. And first of all, we ain't talking about me. We talking about
we're
these
not
toxic masculines.
So
however, let me just go ahead and just finish this out. I was watching something the other day, and it was saying that healing is never really done.
Right.
Which put a lot of things into perspective for me, because I did, I think, initially think I would kind of hit that mountaintop, right? But do we ever?
No. You know, what year was that? Was this State University's graduation?
Did I graduate?
No. The year Cicely Tyson spoke.
Oh, when was that? Ooh. It's okay. I was supposed to graduate? Sierra. Me? Oh. That would have been 2008 or 9.
Well, the point is, you remember she said, you know, you never arrive in life while you having your fleshly, like, human experience. Because to have arrived, you might as well not be here anymore.
It's true. That's a word.
You never arrive.
So I think that's important. Getting back to the whole toxic masculinity thing, I think it's important to realize that whenever we are dealing with our masculines, to give them that grace, that room, to know, just like I'm not going to arrive until the day I'm no longer here, neither is he. And it's okay to accept some, God, that sounds so bad, to accept some degree of toxicity, because we're all kind of toxic in our own ways.
Right.
But I think all of us are looking for the least amount of toxicity as possible. And is that person consciously trying to lessen their toxicity? I think what I come across being 37 and being in the dating scene is that we're getting to the age where we're getting a little bit more set in our ways. Ain't a whole lot of movement, you know. Even, you know, even the conscious ones, they kind of are who they are.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
so
and they will,
like,
tell you that.
They will.
Not straight up.
They will.
Like, I know we're speaking on this, you know, in a dating sense, but even dealing with men in the workplace, you know, every single day. They will straight, I had a coworker tell me the other day, he is who he is.
And he was my age, right?
Yes. So I just have to put up with your shenanigans, because you are who you are. As if to say you being who you are is an excuse so that you don't have to change. No. You are who you are. You realize it and you work on yourself. And that's what allows you to cross over.
I agree. But I think a lot of... Maybe those in my age group, since he was in my age group, are so tired. Maybe they're like, you know, I didn't do as much work as I'm willing to do, and this is who I am. I'm just trying to look for somebody that's going to fit with that, and that's going to be okay with that. And that's going to, I guess, quote unquote, settle.
But your work was backwards.
Sierra, listen, we ain't talking about that specific person now.
I'm not talking about that specific person either.
Sierra was heated about this dude.
You are saying that these guys are stuck in their ways.
They are.
Right?
Yes.
Because they're tired. What they so tired of is my point. What you trying to tell me they're tired of?
Well, okay. If we're talking about the... Okay. This podcast here, this is our very first episode. Let's get a few things out of the way. When we are speaking, we are speaking... We can't speak for nobody else's experience. We're speaking from the Black femme experience. I'm speaking as a Black woman who's 37 years old, who has worked ever since she was 13, who is divorced, mother of one. You know, we can only speak from our experiences. And I done forgot about what was my point? I had a point and I lost it.
We were talking about them being stuck in their ways.
Yeah, I don't remember.
You said when you reach the age group that you're in,
yeah,
you get stuck, you get tired, you get stuck in your ways.
Oh, yeah. So you were talking about, you know, the dude, old buddy from your work, mm-hmm. right? Black males, I think, have it really hard. And I think that a lot of the toxic masculinity that we are facing now within the dating world is almost like a competition. Who's got it the hardest? Mm-hmm. Who gets to be the asshole? Who gets to put their pain, their frustration, their quote unquote bitterness onto the other person in order for them to hold it for a little while? If you love me enough, if you're interested in me enough, you'll hold this for me for a little while because it's heavy, right?
Right.
But can't nobody hold your weight. You got to hold your own weight. And I think that's what's wrong with old buddy at your job is he's probably tired. Maybe who knows what his home life is? Who knows what his black experience has been as a male? And he's just coming off on people because it's heavy. And he wants somebody else to hold that weight for a little bit. And some of us are recipients of it. Because if you allow him to get you upset, if you allow him to get under your skin, then in essence, you're holding his weight.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what's happening a lot in the dating scene. Let me take you to dinner for a little bit, you know, get you to liking me a little bit. And then I'm going to do something ridiculous to make you feel just as bad as I feel. That whole misery loves company type of thing.
Right.
That's the part that hurts me. Because it's like, if you like somebody or respect the other person, be them male, be them female, what have you, why you want them to hurt? I've never wanted somebody to be harmed or feel bad because of something that I did. I don't know. I just don't consider myself a misery loves company type of person.
And neither do I. But to respond to your question, in a sense, you said you don't get the whole court you, treat you right, then do something ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, I think as women, as black femmes, we've been through that like more times than we can probably count. Right?
Right.
So, I actually mustered up the courage to ask that question to one of my male counterparts.
And how old is he?
We're the same age. He's 25 already.
Mm-hmm.
A couple months apart.
Mm-hmm.
So, I can't quote him, but he said something along the lines of, I need to know that somebody gonna go hard for me.
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. It's the whole ride or die type thing.
You need to know something. So you need to know that if you act the donkey,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna stay right here.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yes.
You kick and you hit and you haul.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna go this
what?
Way. Because I'm not getting kicked by no donkey.
He and haul. A complete ass. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that goes along with that whole ride or die thing. Have you seen Queen and Slim yet?
Yes.
So you know, it's the same thing with us as it is with them. Like, Queen says a very important thing in the movie, just to paraphrase, because I don't know the direct quote. But she was like, I want somebody that is going to see me on my worst day, see me as ugly as possible, and basically still ride with me, right? That's what all of us want, is to be completely naked, completely, you know, vulnerable, open, and to know it's not going to scare the other person away. That is the... And we're all, like, working from that area of fear, of, like, if I'm not laced front up. If I'm not, you know, full face makeup, eyebrows contoured, this, that, and the other, are you still gonna like me? Are you still gonna be around? Right? Mm-hmm. And so I think the most radical thing would be, how about you show up on the date with no makeup on? How about you come as your complete and whole full self? And then that would cut out a lot of stuff. But is anybody really gonna do that? Have enough guts to do that? Because well, that you would about... see toxic masculinity right off. You wouldn't have to wait for the third or fourth date. He'd be like, girl, you look a mess.
No. Not necessarily. Not necessarily.
You don't think so?
No. I think a lot of toxic masculinity, I'm not going to say the black woman has created, but aided in the creation of.
I agree.
And so, because me personally, you said we can only speak from our experiences. Mm-hmm. You can contest to the fact I don't wear makeup.
No, but you don't need it either.
I don't wear weave. Unless I want
to. But you don't need no weave.
But here's the point, though. I know a lot of beautiful black women that don't need no makeup and no weave. But they feel like they do.
Okay.
So if I come to you as myself and I lay it out on the table and I'm comfortable with me, you either gonna run from it, like you said, and show me who you are, or choose to stay.
Okay.
But we drive some of that. We put those expectations on ourselves, and then when we don't fulfill them, we mad at our male counterparts because we haven't lived up to what they expect from us, from what we taught them to expect from us.
Give me an example.
Like you just said, the lace front. Every time I pop out, I gotta have on a fresh new outfit. It gotta be trendy. The makeup, okay? I gotta be beat to the god.
So, but how every does time that, I want an example of like, how does that contribute to him being toxic? Are you saying because you're not showing your true face, then he doesn't show his? He's not willing to be vulnerable, and because he's not willing to be vulnerable, he's got to meet some level of masculinity, which 9 times out of 10 is going to be toxic. Then that brings that out of him,
right?
Almost like a gold digger type of thing.
He feels like he has to match you, match your energy.
Yeah, I was dating,
he has to beat you.
Yes, the last dude I was dating continued, like, he said it probably, I started counting at one point, but he said it like maybe 30 times throughout a course of like a week and a half. You the type of woman that need to be handled. You need to be handled. First of all, please tell me, sir. Pray tell me, sir, what your handling consists of.
What does it look like?
What does that look like?
Because if it ain't paying bills.
I'm just playing.
No, you're not. Okay. We've been talking for how long? We've been talking. I don't want to mess up my recording. Has it been 30 minutes? It's been 23 minutes and 40 seconds. So we are going to introduce our special guest, episode 1. Sierra, do you want to do the honors?
Yes.
Okay. The illustrious.
Oh my God, I can't. This is too much.
The beautiful. The brave. The army veteran, the husband, the father of two, grandfather of one, my daddy, Sterling Easter.
Two.
There it is. You gonna say hey, daddy?
Hello.
Dad, come closer to the mic. Come sit over here. Come sit over here.
No closer than that, cause I'm gonna be loud. No.
Dad, you gotta get closer to the mic. Come on. No. Come sit right here.
Come on now.
That's the problem.
What's the problem?
What's the problem?
You're talking about some toxicity.
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 Oh, here we go.
If we start making a word.
Yeah. Toxicity.
A That's where it all started.
Right there. See it right there.
On the ottoman.
What y'all looking for, the man?
Oh my gosh. Sit right there, that right here. Right here.
What y'all looking for, the man?
What are we looking for in the man?
Yes.
Wow, Dad, can we ask you a few questions before you ask us questions? So you've heard the term toxic masculinity, right?
I've heard it from you, yes.
What about from Sierra, though?
No, I hadn't heard that really from Sierra.
Why are you talking like that, Dad?
Why are you talking like that?
Do you
serious? We don't
So do you know? Do you know any? Do you know any? Any men that are around your circle, no shade, nothing like that. I have a young dad. Daddy is only, if I'm 37, then daddy is only 57. So in your group of older gentlemen, maybe some a little bit older, maybe some a little bit younger, do you feel like you know any that you would consider toxic?
Yes.
How many? Give me a percentage. Of the men that you associate with that you would consider are toxic?
70%.
70%?
Yes.
That is very discouraging.
I thought it would have been a higher percentage.
I thought it would have been more like 30%.
Excuse me?
70%?
Yeah.
Toxic?
Mm-hmm.
But most of daddy's friends are settled.
Negative.
They're married.
They're married, but not necessarily settled.
On paper.
So what to you, Dad, would qualify them as being toxic within their masculinity?
Their upbringing. You want me to expound on that?
Yeah.
A black man came up in an environment where he had to be abused and used by ethnicities, or another ethnicity being the Anglo-Saxon, and therefore he passed that on to his black woman and his children through a way of abuse, verbally, mentally, physically, socially, those things that the way he was treated, is the only way he knew how to treat someone else. And I think that's why the male figure, the black male figure, is toxic today. He don't know how to express himself. He don't know how to listen. He's not in the business of learning anything new. He knows what he knows. And all he knows is what he's been taught.
That's really...
That's probably what you all see. You don't see the real true man, because the guys that you're talking about, you're dating, they haven't had an opportunity or haven't lived long enough or been through enough things to change. We're outnumbered, male to female. Black female outnumber the male population 8-1, 10-1. All depends on what scene you're in. It could be 20-1. So we got easy pickings.
True.
So that leads to what you don't want somebody else to do. What you won't put up with, somebody else will. That's why you may look at a male figure as being toxic, because you don't give him instead of asking him questions, you want to tell him what to do and what not to do. Even this, and a lot of times it's not through vocal. It's through your body language. You know, you put on your makeup. You look like a dime piece. You come home. You take off your makeup. you look like two pennies.
Two pennies!
Hey.
That's why.
Not from a dime to two cents.
Listen,
you did
say,
a whole lot.
I said
lot
that to
house.
Say this.
A whole lot. Did you do any laundry or
just
anything?
Just to plant a seed. Toxicity. What's the word again?
Toxicity.
Toxicity
mm-hmm.
is something probably that has been instilled in a male figure, a black male figure, through his, like I said, his parenting, his upbringing, drugs, alcohol, the streets, not being one that has been the right, taught the right way to do things. The first thing I would ask any male that I was going to date, did he come up in a one parent household or a two parent household?
You know that I'm gonna be transparent for a minute, okay, though, because that's hard, I think, for me and Sierra, mm-hmm, and where we run into a lot of issues dating is because you are a little bit of an exception to the rule, because you kind of came up on the other side of the tracks. Yes. Would you agree?
I agree. And that's my point. You don't have to lower your standards because you want to date someone.
But you also said the reality that we're living in, I don't mean to cut you off, but the reality that we're living in is, well, whatever you won't do, somebody else will, because you guys are outnumbered. So that's our struggle. That's our struggle. And especially with me and Sierra, because I think our expectations might be a little bit unrealistic, because we've seen how you have grown and changed as we have grown and changed. And so we assume that other people can grow and change, or that other people want to grow, right, and change. So what do you think makes you different or the same to where you didn't fall into some of the same toxic habits as some of your brethren did? Because you didn't come up easy.
I think if you really would get, I could answer that question, but I'm not the one you're dating. That's why I say, if you start posing questions to some of these guys that you're dating, versus, you have to give them a chance as well. It takes time. It takes time. It doesn't. See, the dating game is, that's what it is, a game. You have to ask. You have to ask yourself, how many guys have you dated, and go from there. And why are you dating so many guys? Is it the guy or why you not dating enough guys, or what are you looking for? I heard you say you want to. You know, you don't have to lower your standards for anyone, but you have to get to know somebody. Mm-hmm. And just don't throw yourself at them, because the first thing we're going to do is sell you some fried ice cream. I'm going to show you the best of me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to wine you. I'm going to dine you. I'm going to sex you. I'm going to do whatever you want me to do initially to get in the door. Mm-hmm. And then at that particular time, you sold yourself out. They've sold their self out. And most folks, when they sell themselves out, they can't keep up.
Because everybody's selling a lie.
Because everybody's... Well, we may be telling the truth initially. Yeah.
You've sold your goods.
Right, you sold your goods. Like I've always said to you all...
Here's the rest.
The last thing you should give out is your goods. So you say... Okay, so if you would say, become friends first.
So you... Would your advice be to... I approach everything with my best foot forward. Dating might not be that place to do that. Is that your advice?
No. I beg the difference with you. Dating is one of the things that you throw in the towel with. Because you're the one that you want to look your best. You want him to see the best side of you. You drain yourself, maybe. Ask yourself that. Do I drain myself?
Absolutely.
How much time does it take me to get dressed? Where are we going? How long are we going to spend time together on this date? What is we going to do? What is about, you know, any, like, you set a goal in life. How long do it take you? Did it take you to become a nurse? How long did it take you to become an educator? How long you think it should take for a man for you to show your whole, for all of your walls to come down, per se? Mm-hmm. So you have to take the same effect. Mm-hmm. You have to, if you looked at it like that, then you're trying to find something there that that person may not even see in themselves. You may bring out the best in that person. You know, and then, that, you know, because, yeah, I guess, what's the word again? Toxicity. Toxicity is something that you're going to see when a person is passionate about something. Mm. When a person is, they may not know how to express themselves. So, just like you all are, flip the script now. Toxicity could be on the other side. Mm-hmm. And it may, one bad thing may lead to another. A word.
I think that's a very important, and I can't remember exactly what you said, but I think that was a very important point to make. What was it? What did you just say?
I said, look at it from the other spectrum.
No, before that.
It takes time for you to tap inside of that person and bring out the best in him.
But it almost sounded like the toxicity comes out whenever he might feel like
about something.
Right, that's what he said. When you're passionate about something.
And what he's passionate about, you may not necessarily be passionate about. An attentive ear will take you a long way. Listening to someone, like you said, I sit over there, don't say nothing. You'll learn right quick, like, what the person is about if they don't say anything. Have you ever went on a date and there was less talking than there was talking?
No, well, I think when you go on dates, you're just trying to fill up space.
Right. That's my point. So that's where you said. That's where you said.
Nobody wants to go on a date and just sit there and look at each other.
No, but if you... You know, you can ask one question and probably take 30 minutes to answer that one question. Mm. Instead of, if you truly listen, like today in a session I had, it only lasted 22 minutes. I couldn't say one word.
You had to listen?
I had to listen. And then I had two minutes to explain what I gathered from that session. So that's the same thing I would say with, I think, the dating game. Your mother and I, before I leave, she and I, we dated first. We were friends first, though. We went to the park. We went to the movies. Old time's sake, it took us time to learn each other and to get to know each other. Now, I think,
but it's so different now.
That's what I was about to say. But it's still a game. But it's not different.
But they had a game with an intention,
right?
I feel like our intentions are just blown to the wind.
I agree to disagree with you on that, because
when you was dating Mama though, y'all dated with the intention of number one becoming serious and number two being married.
No, when I dated your mother, it was two or three other. Two or three girlfriends. I think the dating game was the dating game was basically the same. When we were coming up, there were more young ladies to date than there were men available, because the system has not changed. The system is where the toxicity starts at. The system. We've been systematically chosen as, you know, you all teach me something in that, because genocide. The black male is being slowly taken away. And he's not only being taken away physically now and being imprisoned and killed, he's also being taken away now socially, emotionally, and...
But I guess our issue with that is, and I'm going to ask you this question. If somebody posed a question to you as a black male, who is your best ally? Who is your best ally?
My wife.
Your wife.
Right.
A black woman. Okay. Yes? So why is it that, I guess for us being black women, we feel so much of that toxicity from you all when we're your best allies?
Because Dad said it. They're trying to find the best ally out of the allies.
Ooh.
Right. And they're looking
for... And that's
for,
a whole nother topic.
You know what? That's why I said that one of the key questions...
So I'm going to be as toxic as possible.
Right.
To see who don't run away.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's
unless but you, I've reached a level of maturity to at least start my process of changing. I might not be there yet, but I noticed that I'm willing to address it, and I know that this, that, and the third is a problem. So I'm willing to work on myself.
But that's the initial knee-jerk reaction entering the dating scene is I'm gonna be as, or could be, not could always, be. But I'm gonna be as toxic as possible to see who stick around for this mess.
Right.
Because if you look at the true side of you, that's the truth. This is what you're going to get. This is what you're going to get at least 60% of the time. I can't meet your needs 60 and forget about me. I can't meet your needs, give you 60% of me and give myself 40.
But I don't think any one of us as women, especially as we grow and mature and become more spiritually in tune and woke, quote unquote, woke, whatever. I don't think any of us would want that to happen. I think we all understand that there is a balance that needs to happen, and nobody wants to see the other one completely depleted and only pouring into the other one.
But it's almost like a contractual agreement. If you're going at your age, 37, going into a, like you said, you've never really been on a dating scene. Sierra can teach you more about dating than I can and that you know about.
True.
And she's only about to be 25. Not saying that she's been with a lot of guys, but she's been in a lot of, situations.
Situationships.
That's been toxic. You know, because of the people she's dealt with or the people that she grew up with. But again, I say to you all, ask the key question. Because if you want to date, you want to date somebody that's going to lead into something that's going to be some years on down the road, you all are still together. What type of environment did this person come out of? What drove me was, I don't want to be like my father. I want to be different. I don't want my children to grow up in an environment or a household that I had to grow up in, quote unquote, because of the toxicity. Because that's what it was.
Honey, we gonna name this podcast Toxicity.
Yeah, whatever.
That's what it's the name of it gonna be.
But right, seriously, toxicity. That's what you need to do. You need to really think about why. Male or female, because it could be either or. Why are we where we are? The lack of communication, the lack
of
understanding.
Yeah, that's a huge one, is a lack of communication. Right.
Because a lot of people don't know how to
communicate. I'm just realizing that. Like, a lot of people just don't know how to get their point across.
I'm 57, and I'm just learning how to communicate, believe it or not. Somebody tell you to sit down. I don't want you to speak, please, until I ask you to speak. I want you to listen to what I'm saying. Get an understanding of what I'm saying. Hopefully comprehend what I'm saying. And then when I ask you to respond, I'll understand whether or not you understood.
Well, that's communication 101. That's right. How you know that you're an effective communicator.
And that's the same thing you're going to have in a relationship.
Right.
Because but I think it's important to know that, you know, dad is in therapy, right? A lot of our men don't want to do that.
They think that that's complete bull crap.
They think it's crazy.
I ain't finna pay nobody to listen to me talk about my problem.
Right, so you just gonna continue to be toxic and ruin every woman
you're
that
you...
You
just gonna keep having your problem.
Right, come in contact with. So, okay. All right, we are at...
What's the next question?
I think that's it. Him ready. Him is ready. I guess,
can I respond?
I think we've covered everything.
Can I respond to what you all said, though, in closing?
Yes, absolutely.
In reference to the male figure saying that he doesn't want to do X, Y, and Z. Sometimes you got to take a person by the hand and say, if we're going to be in this together, why don't we start the relationship off like this?
I think some of us have. the relationship off like what?
With getting some,
professional help.
Professional help. If you lay all the dirty laundry on the table from the beginning, you eliminate some of the issues that's going to occur on down the road.
But see, that's dating with the purpose. And I feel like it's a lot of men and women out here that aren't dating with the purpose. They're just dating. Mm-hmm. They have no end goal in mind. And if you bring up an end goal, you're extra.
Yeah, you moving
doing too much.
But it's this thing of I can't put all my eggs in one basket because I don't know.
But not to cut you off, you're moving what?
Too fast. What?
That is a key element. And that is not to cut you off. That's what I just said. When you move too fast, you follow it up with you're doing what? Putting what? All your eggs in one basket. Think about what you're doing. You know, I walk by you when you're dating someone and say to you, either slow down, pump your brakes, be careful, take your time. What's the rush? It's going to take your time. If you take your time, you're going to see what's wrong with us, and we're going to see what's wrong with you. But if you rush into it, it's going to hit you like a ton of bricks. You wasn't expecting that.
True.
Right.
And that's where the disappointment going to come in, the heartache, the pain. Because you done put all your eggs in one basket, and now you done got played like a fiddle.
Like a fiddle. But, and now, okay, we gonna end it up here in a little bit.
It takes some skill to play a fiddle, though.
It takes some skill to date.
That's the point. So you're not getting played just like anything.
But you listen to, you heard what I said. Said you play like you got played like a fiddle. So either one or the other is not in. One's in a rush, the other one is like gradually coming along. Mm-hmm. Usually that person that's playing that fiddle, that's the person that's gradually coming along. They just filling you out. They getting everything they want. They taking their time. They figuring it out. Then when they drop the dime on you, I don't think this is going to work. Or you see them when they got another girlfriend or boyfriend. Or you figure out they got a list, crime list this long. Whatever the case may be. By the time you catch up with them, you done put half of your eggs in, or three quarters of your eggs in that basket. That's that, what I was telling you, that's 70%. You take the, I know I'm a male. I know how long me and your mother been married. I come from a family of a divorce and a father of women by five different children by five different women. So it's like, do I want to be on that spectrum? Or do I want to be on this one? Because
which one do you think is the easiest?
Neither one is easy. But which one is more, I wouldn't use the word easy, which one is more, less toxic?
Yeah, more fulfilling, less
more
toxic.
More fulfilling, less toxic.
Healthier.
No matter what the problem, no matter the situation, you find a way to work through it in a marriage or, you know, whatever the case may be. But somebody got to play the 70-30 sometime, or the 60-40 or 50-50. The 50-50 hardly ever comes into play. Mm-hmm. The only time the 50-50 comes into play is you're whining and you're dining. Mm-hmm. And you're poofing.
Well, I guess a good question to close out the segment would be to, you know, since you brought up Pawpaw, you know, five different women, five different sets of kids, a total of how many uncles and aunties we got together?
You don't even know them all.
So would that be, in your opinion, not to, you know, be negative or anything like that, but would that be an example of toxic masculinity to you?
Very much.
And what do you think he's searching for in five different women, five sets of kids?
A mother figure.
Okay. And there we go. That's a whole nother.
Yeah, they want a mama.
Oh, well, Dad, thank you so much for joining us on our first episode of Tim's and Teddy's.
We sure appreciate you.
We sure
love
do.
Y'all too.
All right. Well, Sierra, let's close it out. Let's close it. Daddy, talk out loud if you let it. All right. Do you have anything to say to close it out? What do you think we're going to talk about next time? The next episode. Any ideas?
I don't know. We need to talk about these men and their mamas.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that'll be our little segue. It's a lot of mama issues out there that's leading to this masculine toxicity.
Black mama, black son.
And don't y'all worry. You know, we're not self-deprecating. However, we don't have no problem, you know, saying how we fall short as the black femme as well. You know, we can't speak for all black females, but we can definitely speak for ourselves. And we're never gonna just hang black men out there to dry. No. And I think that is the blessing that Sierra and I both have, because we've, you know, had a very, very good father growing up. Is he perfect? No. Is he absolutely loving and unconditionally loving and supportive? Absolutely. So,
and let's be clear. If we didn't love you and we didn't care about you, black man, we would not care to get to the bottom of this. We would not care to discuss this. You know, it's time to heal our people.
Absolutely.
Okay? And the male and the female, the black male and female dynamic.
Because we it.
Period.
We it. We the beginning and the end then. Alpha and Omega. Anyway, we hope that you guys have enjoyed our first episode of Tim's and Teddy's. Please feel free to leave comments. Give us a thumbs up, yada, yada, yada. And join us for our second episode. We'll definitely be posting when that will be. Love and light. Take care. Bye-bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.